It is great to have you on the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I'm Joel Inhouse, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential.
Being a pastor is one of the biggest blessings of my life. It can also be really challenging. Often it feels like everyone wants something from you. That's one of the reasons that it's so refreshing when you find a trusted ministry partner, a Christ-centered, church-driven organization that's truly there to help you carry your church's mission forward. For me, Compassion International has been one of those trusted ministry partners. Hear me say this, Compassion International is much more than asking people in your church to sponsor a child. Compassion offers proven, no-cost resources to help pastors make mission and discipleship a personal priority for individuals and families in their churches. My local Compassion team is in my corner. They genuinely care about me and my church. Learn more about partnering with Compassion at compassion.com/family goals.
Here is part two of our podcast with Sage Steele.
I'd like to talk to you about this. Like, what about with ESPN? What about dealing with the stuff you dealt with the vaccine? You had to deal with a lot of different situations and, you know, some coworkers, you know, that you had to deal with that were difficult. I hope I was never one of those. I definitely never tried to be, but, you know, talk about ESPN and what you learned from that, how you handled it, how you grew from that. And some of the, by the way, some of the challenges that you had to face at work on a daily basis.
I'm going to start with a positive, which is whenever Davey Pollock was coming on our show, we were like, yes, because the energy he brought, even if he was in Athens, Georgia, or Tuscaloosa, or Knoxville, like no matter where you were, you brought that smile. And you were like one of the few people who we could throw anything at last second. We didn't need scripted questions with Pollock. And even if we tried to get them, he wouldn't write us back in time. So it was like fine.
Pastor Jay, we can relate to that.
We can relate.
Right?
He just shows up and it's all up in the dome.
But it's actually brilliant. And that is a gift. And David was always so conversational on TV. Like, that is a gift and very few people have it. And that's the reason why I initially loved working with you, because I'm like, this guy's brilliant. And I'm learning something from him, most importantly. So anyway, we'll go on and on about Dave Pollock as we continue. But listen, I'll tell you, that was the most devastating part, was my peers, because I was the old veteran there. Once Chris McKendry left and Linda Cohn went out west to LA and she was doing more hockey, I was the longest tenured female sports center anchor in Bristol. I started in February of 07. So I'd been there the longest and, was always, you know, just the way I was raised. I was always so, I was just taught to treat people with kindness, lead with kindness, and help others along the way. And most importantly, when I started there, there was no assistance. It was nasty. The women at the time, it was not a welcoming place in 2007. And I remember as a very young mother, when I started ESPN, my kids were 11 months old, 2 and 4. And I was just trying to survive every day, you know, not having the confidence on air, and I was not good. And so all of the things, and being my husband was a stay-at-home dad, so every ounce of pressure was on me the entire time, and I just wanted a friend, and the women weren't, no. So I made a vow that every woman that came to ESPN, I would at least try, and let's meet up for coffee, or I would have like those jewelry parties at my house just to have friends over, and most of the time they wouldn't show up, and it was okay. It hurt a little bit early, but then you go, fine, it's fine. Later, some of the women that are there now, I would invite over or reach out. Even when I was out on the West Coast or in NBA, just try to reach out and welcome them and be that person that no one was for me. And it was great for a while. And then I guess I got a little controversial and people ran for the hills. And so I think if I'm gonna be honest, the human element of it is what was upsetting and hurtful, that like, you can be everyone's friend and you can be that person until you make them a little uncomfortable. And that's the part where you're like, wow, I guess they weren't real friendships. And you know, most, they're all still there. And so one of the times that really stood out was when I found out that one in particular was talking in the makeup room, you know, that place, David, about I was in the process of the divorce, and it was so personal. Obviously, and so devastating. And I wasn't talking about it to anybody, but someone found out through the same agents that we had. And we're talking about it. And I thought, what is that? Where someone is like gossiping, celebrating someone else's pain. And these are coworkers that you're on the air with, you know? So that's where I thought, and primarily women, you know, the men were here and there, but primarily the women, that's where I thought, my goodness, I'm so naive. Like, shame on me for trusting, you know, all those things. And then I had to, it took some time to work through that and try to forgive that there must be something in them that's not, that doesn't feel good in order for them to feel the need, right, to do that to someone else in a public way. So it began before I even filed a lawsuit, et cetera. But that was the toughest part, you know. And honestly, when you sacrifice a lot, as we all do, and it was a two-way street, ESPN gave me so much. I actually would not change a single thing, not a thing, because it all led to today, which is right where I'm supposed to be. But, you know, during those times, you feel completely alone. And there were a few people, you know, my guy, Matt Berry, is my guy. And it wasn't always easy for him, David, right? Because I'm his teammate and his co-host, who he loves as a human being, much less a co-host. We had fun. But he would take shrapnel because we were friendly on TV. Like, so what I stopped doing was I, you know, Instagram stuff, I would stop, you know, putting him in my video to make sure he didn't have to receive any negativity just because he sat next to me, right? I never told him that, but I started to move away from asking anybody to be in my stupid Instagram video because I knew that it might hurt them to be associated with me, you know? So that took probably more of a toll than I realized. I didn't realize it as much until I left. And then, you know, the silence that you hear after 17 years and when you really try to help people, and that's just not a two-way street. But it's okay, right? We have to allow ourselves to be human and to feel that. And then process it, get on your knees a lot, and just, I asked God to just bring me that peace, and he's brought it. So that's what I mean when I say that I wouldn't change anything, but it doesn't mean that it didn't hurt at the time. And then the biggest blessing, then I'll shut up, is that your circle gets so much smaller. And I didn't realize how small it already was. I thought it was bigger. And so now it's a blessing to know exactly who's in that circle, and that they're your people no matter what. They don't care what your job title is, who likes you, who doesn't, where you live, how much money you make or don't make. They're your people. And it's just, I feel very, very blessed to have them, you know?
Outstanding.
Well, say, just, it's inspiring for so many people, whether you hear this or not, but for someone like yourself to stand up for the truth and speak about what is morally right, no matter what the consequences are, it's a positive impact for so many people around the world, whether you hear that or not. And so we appreciate you sticking true to your conscience and speaking.
Thank you.
Speaking the truth.
Pastor Jay, I questioned it a lot. Trust me, because everyone's like, "You're an idiot. You're, you know, you have this."
Why? Thank you.
Thank you. I know. I was like, well, maybe they're right, because it was a risk. It would have been so much easier and safer and cheaper, all of the things, to just stay quiet. But I knew in my gut that I could not any longer. Once I was just speaking my truth, what was true to me, privately, you know, privately meaning not on ESPN platforms, et cetera, and was crushed for that, but then my peers were allowed to say all of the things on ESPN platforms. I mean, political stuff, abortion on basketball shows. Like, once I felt that hypocrisy to that level and was punished, I literally had to have a talk with myself on my knees. Like, okay, if you let this go again, because you've been doing it for years, what are you going to tell your kids? Then you're a freaking hypocrite. That's what you are. Is when you preach to your children to stand up and stand tall and be proud, even if it's not popular, stand up for the kid that's being bullied over there. don't stay quiet in class when someone says this. You know, when you disagree with the teacher, do it with kindness, etc. And then I'm going to be silent after being, you know, made an example of. So I knew I had to. But I knew it would be the most costly thing ever in my life. But I just knew that no matter what, I'd be okay. Because what am I going to be homeless? Okay, my parents have a nice basement. I'll move in there. Like, I'll figure it out. Will they accept the dog? That's the.
Hey, what about bed checks though, bro? That room better be tidy. Dad's going to be walking in there and be like, hold on, you better salute.
Exactly. So I will say this. I'm proud of that decision that I made then, because I know that I would not have been able to live with myself any longer, to be quiet, to be a hypocrite. All these people who preach it but don't practice it, because it is easier and it is safer. I wish it hadn't taken me so long, but it's okay. And to your point, I have heard from thousands of people, thousands. And initially I heard from them when I got suspended. And then, I mean, people in different countries, I thought, and that's what happens when Disney is associated with something, right? It's global. And then when I was forced to apologize, then I heard from people who cussed me out and crushed me again, and I'll never watch you again. I'm like, no, in order to keep my job at that time, I had to apologize. No one understood. It was, you know, it was three kids and me. And so you do what you have to do, but it has been really awesome in the last 7 months since I've been gone to see how many people that you are speaking for when you stand up. People at ESPN who've been like, yep. I wish I could have. Listen, we all make choices. I made the choice that I made, and I don't expect anybody else to make it. I'd have people, David, in the bathroom. Women in the bathroom would pull me aside, part of the crew. They'd be whispering. One of them started crying and just hugged me in the bathroom in a commercial break. She's like, please don't get quiet. Please keep fighting for us. And I realize this is so much bigger than my little fight, so much bigger. And now look, you know, I have such peace with it, and I'm excited because I get to keep speaking for other people now.
Dang right. And I think that's awesome. And honestly, like, I mean, just like vaccine, I've talked about it. I didn't want to get it, but I did because I didn't want to lose my job. And if you wanted to go on the road for game day, you had to be vaccinated. So I did it. Like, for some of those people that are listening, Sage, I want them to know about some of the things that you're talking about that you stood for, and some of the reasons you got suspended, the reasons the reasons that were important enough for you to speak up, for people that don't know that.
Okay. There's three things, and I'll go in chronological order of the way I said it on the Jay Cutler podcast. I haven't heard much from Jay Cutler, that's for sure. The first thing was about just growing in the industry as a woman. And I just was talking about how much the industry has changed through the years, and how I'm so glad to see so many young women like everywhere. And now there's different options with all the online stuff. It is a beautiful thing. And with that, I think women have responsibilities that sometimes people don't like to talk about. And for me in particular, I you know, all the positive things. And I said, I also believe that, you know, the whole women locker rooms and how we portray ourselves matters. This is also coming from a mother of two young women who has had discussions with them about what we wear and why, and what's our goal when we wear that. Mm-hmm. So I got in trouble for speaking about how I think men be better all the time in locker rooms, et cetera, everywhere. And women, we can be better too, because we are smart. We know what we're wearing and when and why and what the goal is. And I say this to my teenage daughters all the time. I'm like, so that's a little short. What's your goal as you walk out the door? What's your goal in wearing that? Well, no, it's actually 40 degrees. So get back upstairs. Like, so, I mean, the conversations I have with mine, I've been very consistent. I just said that I think we can be better, and we never deserve anything to come our way from men. But if you wear that, don't be surprised if some eyeballs look there, because guess what? I'm a woman and I'm looking at you too. So just let's not play dumb here, number one. And that's honest, and I'll always say it. I'll stand by that. Number two, Jay's team had done some good research on my stance on, well, just not even a stance. It's just my pride in my heritage and where I come from and being a biracial woman. My mother is half Irish, half Italian. My dad's black. And I was asked on The View now 10 years ago why I had to identify as biracial. And this is Barbara Walters on live TV, who was like, well, what's the problem? I mean, Barack Obama, president at the time, he's biracial, but he says he's black. Why can't you? And then she's like, well, what about the census? And what do you mark there? And then she brought up Obama again. And I said, listen, you know, more power to the president, you know, but I said, it's interesting. His black father was not around. He wrote a book about that. His white mother and white grandmother raised him, but he won't even identify at all with his white side. I think that's fascinating for him. You do you, I'm gonna do me. And I said this joke then, and I'll say it for the rest of my life. It's not that funny, but it's true. Like, I'm pretty sure my white mom was there the day I was born. And so I'm like, why am I going to not listen to my mother, not honor my mother equally? I'm so proud of my family, and I've been loved as much by my white side as my black side. I don't see why that's a big deal. So that got me in trouble. Then the final thing was the vaccine. And David, I had just come from the Stop and Shop grocery store to get that shot. It was the last day I could get the vaccine in order to be fully vaccinated by September 30th, 2021. And so I was emotional because I thought I was disgusted with myself for giving in and not standing up for what I believed was right with this vaccine and being forced to do it. And all I wanted was a little bit more time and more research. I had done my homework. I knew that the FDA on average takes 6 to 9 years to approve a vaccine. And this had been shoved through in a couple of months, and it was very political. So I just wanted more time and didn't want to do it. And listen, like I said on the podcast, it was Disney that forced us. And I thought it was sick and scary, those are my words, for anyone to force us to do anything to our bodies. But being a global company, I understood it. And in order to keep my job, I did it that day. So I had a Band-Aid on my shoulder because I'd literally come sprinting in from the grocery store. I was going to not do it. And then at the last second I did it and was just disgusted with myself. So pretty emotional. And that's what got me in trouble was crushing Disney. So from there, I got a phone call from my agent and then from Norby. and that was the beginning of the end. And they said they were going to suspend me. And it didn't sit right at the time because I knew what they had allowed others to say about things that were much more egregious. I was just speaking about my experience as a woman in a locker room, as a biracial woman, and as someone who'd been forced to put a shot in my body I didn't want to, while complying, right? So I thought, I'm just giving my opinion, but I'm complying. And apparently there's a double standard. So I stand by all those things. I'll say them till the day I die. And it's interesting to see what has come out about that vaccine since then, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And we realize quickly, too, is some people can say things and other people can't. Some parts of culture can say things and some parts of culture can't. I mean, you know, for me, Christianity is one of those things where just so many people have such a problem with it right away. And they will attack you and they will say, you can't say this on air, but we can talk now more politics on air. We can talk more, like you talked about, you said abortion on air. Like, you can mention those type of things, which is just crazy. But well, I'm proud of you.
That was happening when I said those things. That was happening before, during, and after. And that's where the lawsuit came from, was just consistency. You cannot allow them to go on ESPN platforms about all these things that are personal to them and the alleged don't say gay bill from Florida, all the things, and having moments of silence in women's basketball games for political issues with our talent leading the way. But then I'm on an off day speaking about my experience and I'm punished. And listen, the punishment continued. It wasn't just the suspension. It was assignments taken away, many, many things. And that's where it came from. Listen, I'd never used an attorney for anything in my life, anything, not even with what happened with my marriage, nothing. The least litigious person ever. And so for me to do that was a big deal. But again, I knew once I stood up, my career would, in that way at least, what it looked like at ESPN would end. And I think what I'm most proud of, besides the fact that I was speaking for many others, not me at that point, was that every day for 22 months after I came back from suspension, I walked in there with my head held high and smiled and compartmentalized because every day I was scared. I put those fears here and shove it in the back of my head and walk in and do the job that I loved for 22 months. And that wasn't easy when I knew I had all those haters right there, sometimes in the same room, certainly on the other side of the camera when I was doing interviews, right? With some of my peers and fellow analysts. But I knew I wasn't going to let that take away the joy of the job that I loved. And every day when I drove up there, my parents and I would pray. I'd get to the parking lot as I was putting on my mascara, and I'd call my parents, and we'd have a little group call and say our prayers as I walked into that building. So I felt protected every day.
That's amazing. And I think I'll give it to you, Pastor Jay. I think I worked with you the first day back, because I was like, Sage, it's so good to have you back. Because do you remember that?
I cried when we got done because you did that.
Well, don't be tearing up on me, girlfriend. Like, literally, I just remember I was like, I'm so excited Sage is back. Like, I was just literally excited. I wasn't trying to make a statement or anything like that. I was just like, it's so good to see you back. Yeah.
But you did, because everyone else, it was like tiptoeing around me, and like it was a thing, right? And so when you did that, I was like, you don't know what that meant to me, because I was so afraid. So darn, look at what you just did to me.
I didn't mean to, but I'm glad I got it. Good.
You got it. You know me. But that meant the world.
Well, Sage, Davey already said this, but you are an inspiration to so many people. And because you took a stand for each of those things, and what's close to me is the vaccine, because my father-in-law is paralyzed from the knees down because of the vaccine. Yep. And he's paralyzed from the knees down. Now he got Guillain-Barré syndrome because of the vaccine. And so paralysis began in his toes, went all the way up where he almost couldn't swallow. And they never admitted it. And he has a tremendous attitude. He's joyful. My son's in here, his grandson. But it just frustrates us every time we would hear the commercials and hear people pushing it, but no one was mentioning the side effects. And here our 80-year-old grandpa is paralyzed now. And he was in a wheelchair. And so for you standing up and taking a stand, maybe there's other people who didn't get the vaccine and it kept them from some really dangerous side effects that you never know the impact you're having this side of heaven. Of course, when we get to heaven, we're going to get to see all the impact we had and the people. Yeah. But because of your platform and because of who you are, and I tell Davey this all the time, the incredible platform that he has, and he, I'm so proud of him, because especially here the last few years, he's become this huge inspiration for Christians and people who are followers of Jesus. And it's been neat to see through a lot of the hardship and difficulty, it's created an opportunity for Davey to share his faith with more people. So
that has been something I've loved seeing more of since you left ESPN, David, because we always knew, and I think it was, you were public about it, but now you've gone to another level and you're just doing it and you're just doing you and you're talking about the things. And I know you're inspiring people. It's really beautiful to see, because it does take courage. People say it shouldn't. It does take courage to be out there and be vulnerable with it, especially in today's society where it seems like everybody is anti and doesn't want to hear about people's faith, which is so sad, which is what? Proof that we need to keep going and keep going with it. I'm devastated to hear that about your father-in-law. I cannot imagine. And I think that's the thing. Just be honest with us about what's out there. Be honest so people can make their own decisions. That's one of the reasons why I chose my kids, my daughter in particular, chose the college that they're at. They're at High Point University in North Carolina. They're junior and sophomore, my daughter and son. And she was passionate about this, about not being forced to do it. And that's on her own research, I promise. And just to give people options and choices on what to do with their body and their family, their children. And I, you know, and for older people, like my father has two kinds of cancer. He's almost 78. My mom's 74. It is different based on ages. And there are recommendations, right, for depending on where you are in life and your health. But I think being forced like that is what was so devastating. And now we're slowly seeing more and more of the facts of some mm-hmm. of the risks and some of the people who've been affected in bad ways by it. So I will add to your father-in-law to my prayer list, which is quite long, because it's, we all need it, but in particular, what he's going through and what your family's going through, I cannot imagine. How do you not have some anger there? Or do you?
I probably had more anger than he does. He is such a gentle heart and forgiving and just enjoys life. I want to shift gears a little bit here, Sage. I want to talk about women's college basketball, and I want us to get into talking about women in sports. But
that's exactly where I was going to go, because we got to get that in before
we have to let you go. But let's talk about women college basketball. I'm a huge LSU Tigers basketball fan, and I love Kim Mulkey. We are the national defending champs.
I can tell you
the starting five for LSU, the first two girls.
Give me the
off
starting
the bench.
Five.
You want to hear that?
I want to hear it. Yeah, don't be one of those people that say I got the starting five. Go.
Well, you got Angel Reese, of course.
Yes.
I mean,
everybody knows
the
her.
Year.
Yes.
Haley Van Lith.
Okay.
You know Anessa Morrow, who transferred from DePaul, All American in her own right. You have Michaela Williams, who's SEC freshman of the year.
Okay.
Right.
That's four.
And then their best player, the best athlete on the team, Flaje Johnson, super sophomore. You have last tier Poa coming off the bench, and you got Del Rosario coming off the bench, the 6'6 freshman center.
Dang.
Hey,
all right.
Like LSU, we're going to win the national championship. Now, we got a terrible draw. We're in there with Iowa. We're in there with Caitlin Clark. We're in there with UCLA.
Give me Caitlin Clark, baby. Let's go.
But yeah, I love Caitlin Clark as well.
That draw.
Women's sports. Oh, don't you think?
I mean, those people at the NCAA, yeah, I mean, they want that all over again, don't they?
Oh, yes, they do.
It was the most watched national championship game in the history of women's basketball, I believe. Am I right? Am I right, so, Davey?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I think it had to be, right?
It was, yes.
It's going to come back on Angel Reese. It's going to come back on her.
Well, I hope so. I hope Caitlin Clark shuts it up. Go ahead, Sage. What do you think about women's basketball?
Well, first of all, I'm with you. I Caitlin Clark is a stud, and how she's handled all of that
from
the beginning has been just pure class. Her parents must be so proud. It has been really, really cool to see that evolution of women's hoops, you know. And I love, and ESPN's done a beautiful job with that through the years, you know, and just continuing to push it. Those girls... You know, one of my best friends in the world is Becky Hammon, of course, head coach of the two-time WNBA champion Las Vegas Aces. And, you know, I got to know her when she was with the Spurs as the first female full-time assistant coach in the NBA. And she'll talk all day long about women's skill sets. And she talks to the LeBrons and all the guys in the NBA as well about how women's basketball skills are better than men's, period. And then, of course, the athletic side of men is a whole different story. Which for some reason is in question these days. I don't understand.
Don't worry, anyway, I'm getting to that next. Just finish this up. That's my next question. Don't you worry.
I know, I'm so bad. But like, it is so cool to see how the game has grown. I have to tell you, I am the biggest Kim Mulkey fan. I love her. I met her after the national championship at Baylor and have followed her ever since. And then I was doing SB coverage, I guess 2018 or 2019, and they were there, and she came up to me after our segment, and she had the whole team around her and said some things I'll never forget. And she was just quite supportive of a lot of things I had said, and I hadn't even gotten crazy controversial at that point. So I have a soft spot for Kim Mulkey, and her expressions and her faces. Like, oh my gosh. She comes up to about here on me, and I am scared to death of Kim Mulkey.
Oh yeah, my wife likes to just watch Kim. She just watches Kim on the sidelines we watch all the LSU women's basketball games.
Apparently.
Yeah, we do. And she just watches Kim on the sidelines the whole time. She's interested in her outfit.
Well, like, she's always got the nice outfit
on.
And
then those facial expressions.
Oh man.
She wears those.
She's country too now.
The fashion sense in women's college basketball, you can like even some of the UConn assistant coaches, Chris, I forgot her last name. She's always been fashion forward in Notre Dame. And think about, I was thinking of the former Notre Dame coach. Why am I blanking on her name now? Anyway, like, oh, Muffet McGraw, like Muffet. Always with the clothes. So that's always fun to watch. But Mulkey brings it. I'm pretty sure some of the clothes that she wears weigh more than her. And it doesn't even matter. I just am obsessed with her. But I'd love to see Caitlin get it because she's taken such flack for being great. What is that?
Because
they didn't do that. They don't do that to any of the other women's hoops players. What is that?
Huh. It's weird. It's very strange that she doesn't get that. She gets hate in different areas that other people don't. And it's okay. I'm not going to draw any parallels. Last question. Okay. I'm in this fight firmly with you. I'm shocked that it's a fight. And I've been shocked. I stood silent for a while and I watched it and I'm like, all right, not my place because I'm a man. It's not my place to jump in and defend women's sports. But as I sit back and I sat by longer and longer, I'm like, how do we not understand the difference between a man and a woman? Like, I don't understand the transgender situation, and you're standing up for it. Thank God. Like, and you've got a powerful voice for it, but how did you get, what made you stand up for this? Why is it important to you? And tell us a little bit about your stance.
It goes back to when I first started reading about what was happening with Leah Thomas and Riley Gaines. And that was like September of 2022. And I remember being on SportsCenter and being like, why aren't we talking about this? And they'd say, well, no. And I go, no. We've done this nowhere. I mean, the perfect place, because you know, on the Noon Sports Center, Noon Eastern, they still do, I believe, I don't watch anymore, the Outside the Line segment with Jeremy Schapp. And I'm like, that's a good 8, 10, 12, 14 minute segment to dive into a topic like that deserves some coverage. Nobody would touch it. And it made me so mad. And they're like, well, it's on ESPN.com. So I started to just get ticked off about that. And oh, by the way, no horse in this race either. My daughters at that point had really their competitive days in sports were over. So it's not like I'm fighting for my daughters to not be in, you know, locker rooms with men or boys. This is just right and wrong. Mm. This is black and white. I don't understand this. And then when Riley really started to speak up, I go back to March a year ago when the whole Women's History Month stuff came out. And unfortunately, ESPN made some bad choices, in particular to have Leah Thomas featured as a woman, one of the most influential women's history stuff. And I just lost my mind. And I remember they had asked me to voice over a couple of those, and I did them. And I thought to myself, it's a good thing they didn't ask me to voice that one over, because it wouldn't have happened and I would have had some choice words. They knew better than to ask me that. But when that blew up, that's when I started to speak up, because I'm like, this is ridiculous. And Riley is out there fighting by herself. And this is wrong. There are all these women in our industry who have a platform, who have a voice, who say they fight and stand up for women's sport, but are freaking silent right now. And it made me sick. I'd been on the face of ESPNW, that yearly summit that we'd have. We'd bring all the women together in the sports industry and executives, male executives as well, you know, conference commissioners, you name it. Silence from all of them. And I just thought, this is so wrong. And then I didn't think it was really an issue, though, because I thought, we're ESPN and we support women so much. Of course, there won't be an issue with me speaking up about this. And there was. And then I got an email saying, shh. So I just thought to myself, this is a hill I will die on. Because no one can tell me that I'm wrong about this. It's the silence that speaks volumes, right? Listen, I don't know what you guys think. To me, there's such a dark side to this. There's some evil involved in this. That's the only word I know to use because of what's happening in that community in general, and the surgeries that are taking place and what they're doing to our children, what's happening in many states, in particular California, where parents don't have to even be notified when they're going to start to talk to these kids and give them hormone blockers, you know, pre-puberty. There's no other way to describe this to me besides evil. And if we are silent about this, then we have blood on our hands. And I mean that. I'm not trying to be dramatic. But as a woman in sports for 28 years, shame on me if I don't say something, even if it's costly, and it certainly has been. Last week, I was on Capitol Hill, and it was such an honor to be in the room with four senators who are fighting for women. along with Paula Scanlon, who was on that UPenn swim team with Leah Thomas and what she described, and Kim Russell, the coach at Oberlin College, who was fired for not allowing a boy into her lacrosse locker room at Oberlin College. All the stories, a Title IX lawyer that reminded us that every single time a college or high school does something like this and allows a boy or a man in, it is a Title IX violation. But no one's fighting back because they're scared. So listen, my career's blown up in many ways with some fun stuff coming, but so what do I have to lose? Like, I'm gonna go deep, go hard for these girls and these women, even if they're not, because of the fear. Fear is real. I understand that. I lived in fear for a long time. Yeah. And it's a beautiful thing once you let go, even though it is quite costly. But I feel I can, and my daughters even say, Mom, sometimes they're like, can you chill out a little? You know, because they attack them. People come after my daughters on social media and threats. It's disgusting. However, that's what they want, is for us to be silenced. And if I'm quiet, and Sam Ponder's been speaking up as well, you know, and all these young women at 22 and 23 who are having the courage, then shame on me if I don't. But I think it's insidious, it's evil, it's sick what's going on. And if we don't stand up, and men, more of you, David, because yes, you have a daughter. Where are all my dads out there? All your former coworkers at ESPN, right? All of those analysts who have daughters playing sports and they're silent. It is not okay. And I'm just gonna keep begging others to join us.
Well, you got me, I can promise. And we're thankful. We're thankful for you, Sage, and your heart, and to share struggles, because we all got them. And whether we want to talk about them or not, like, we've all got scars, and some of them you can see and they're physical, but some of them you can't. And it's life's hard, but we love what you're saying, your message of perseverance. You're praying with your parents as you're walking in the building to go fight hard things. Keep fighting. And here's the cool thing. The cool thing that I see for you in the future is God didn't take away anything from you. It's literally just redirecting it for his purpose. That's going to be even bigger, a bigger impact, a more impactful, right? More fun for you. And I have a feeling we'll be hearing some big news soon, and you'll be doing some big things. So thank you for joining us.
Listen, thank you. And thank you for always believing in me, even when I didn't. I feel so blessed in so many ways, and I'm so grateful to God for every single day. It's so humbling that I'm still here able to talk. I'm sorry that I cried. I'm sorry that I got emotional. You brought it out of me, darn it. So, but thank you for having me, you guys. I love what you're doing.
Sage, you're an inspiration to so many people. We appreciate you opening your heart and your life to us, speaking the truth in love. And I want to leave you with this. Don't let somebody else's agenda get in the way of God's assignment for your life, because he has a big plan for your life. And it's the best is yet to come for Sage Steele.
Such a blessing. Pastor Jay, it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And please tell your father-in-law I'm thinking of him.
I will. I can see God's light in you. You shine bright.
Feel it.
Thanks.
I feel it. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, have a good one, Sage.
Thank you for listening to this week's Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. The greatest thing we can do as Christians is standing up for what we believe in. Sage is a perfect example for this. No matter what the consequences were, stand for what you believe in. Sage really got to see who her real friends were when her circle got smaller, but it's such a blessing to know who's going to be there for you in the good times and in the hard times, in the mountaintops and the valleys, those people that are going to be with you in the foxhole, those foxhole friends. When we stand for the truth, we aren't just standing up for ourselves, but we're standing up for those that are too scared to stand up. Let's step out in faith and stand for what we believe in. No matter what you're going through or what you've done, there is grace, period. Believe that, live by it, stand for the truth. It is so worth it in the end. If you found this episode helpful, encouraging, or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter @FamilyGoalsPod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.